I find it somewhat ironic that the very people, early Christians, who want the world to believe in the divinity of Christ, are also the ones who threaten that divinity more than anyone else with their editing, manipulation, and omissions of New Testament scripture that raise doubts as to its authenticity and truth. This is then compounded with a church that has perhaps one of the most bloody and corrupt histories known to man in its search and implementation for power and control. I know I have said this several times, but if Christ came down to earth in this day and age, I don't believe he would want to call himself a Christian. It's a sad commentary for our wonderful Messiah. Christ and his small entourage joined a trade caravan and set off first for the area we know as Turkey today. As an aside, when I visited Turkey, I found that the Turkish people will fight you if you deny Jesus' trip to Ankara, where he eventually stopped over again later on in life. I found Ankara to be a very holy place, more holy than most churches I've been to. The Turkish Christians also fully believe in the Anatola, the mother god, and even their rugs show her in symbolism with her hands on her hips. Jesus studied in Turkey at Byzantium, later known as Constantinople, and today as Istanbul, its capital city. This was a meeting place of scholars, merchants, artisans, and theologians, and this is where he was first introduced to various beliefs in Gnosticism. As he preached, Christ was a seeker of knowledge and wisdom, and he avidly learned as many philosophies as possible from his travels. Francine says he stayed in a type of villa, using money from the family coffers. The picture of a poor, beggarly man, dusty and dirty, is just not factual. He wore fine garments and traveled with well-kept family and assistants. He ate at the best tables and studied with Persian and Arab scholars. He had an almost photographic mind and assimilated everything. While in Byzantium, he became friends with a scribe who took down his thoughts and musings. Francine says that Jesus stayed in Byzantium only a few months, but even then he seemed to gather crowds of people around him. You must realize that in Eastern countries they are used to holy people or prophets who come and go, especially if they are on their own journey or mission. Many fakirs, holy men, even today travel in India by delivering wisdom and then go on to village after village, living off alms given them. Jesus attracted people because of his charisma and innate wisdom, and even though he was still very young, he always seemed to make an impression on those around him. His search for knowledge, combined with the exuberance of youth, spurred him onward toward the Far East. Francine says he left Byzantine and traveled eastward through the Anatolia region of Turkey, where he assimilated philosophy about the Mother God and then continued onward southeast into what was then known as Mesopotamia, Iraq, and the city of Babylon. From Babylon, he went into what was then known as Persia, Iran, and eastward through Afghanistan into ancient India. Having money, he secured passages on trade caravans for protection and the best routes to India. Francine says he stayed in India for close to 10 years, studying under the Brahmins of the Hindu religion and also under Buddhist priests. While in India, he traveled to the areas of Kashmir and Tibet, seeking the highest teachers and masters possible for his studies. After some years, he sent his brothers back home to Israel with messages for his parents that he would be studying for an extended period of time. They put up a great resistance because James, who was very close to him and a sensitive in his own right, knew with all certainty that Christ's road would be fraught with pain and suffering and skepticism. Jesus more or less convinced them that they had to go back because his mission had to be done and was written in the scriptures, and also convinced them that they were needed at home and could help him more there by taking care of the family. So James and John and their servants went back to Israel, knowing that Jesus was staying on to study and prepare for what he had to do. Francine says that while James was with Jesus, he did take notes and did to a certain degree document their travels with a sort of journal or diary. She also says that sometime in the not-too-distant future, some or all of these writings will be discovered by archaeologists, much as the National Geographic Society recently found the Gospel of Judas.